Today we are going to look at Pentecost. Pentecost. I was reading a this has nothing to do with Pentecost, but it says why doctors should look for ways to prescribe hope. They were looking, and this was an article written about people feeling despair, despondency. There was a song on Hee Haw. It was despondency, no hope, woe is me, something to that effect. Yeah, gloom, despair, and agony on me. There we go. So gloom, despair, and agony on me. So we don't want that to happen. So the Pentecost is the coming of the Spirit to enlighten our heart. But in this article, was talking about doctors should find ways to prescribe hope. How do you prescribe hope? Well, we find hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the Scriptures. And we find also today the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church, is the great empowerer of the church and of each individual. So Pentecost is the fulfillment of God's promise to dwell in His people. So Pentecost is the fulfillment of the promise to be in His people. That's you and I. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God abides within our heart. The Holy Spirit empowers His people through the Holy Spirit, enables His children to live transformed lives and be His witness to the world. So these are the things of Pentecost. It's more than just an occasion in the past, but it is an empowerment not only of the past, but it is an empowerment of the present. So today, as we celebrate Pentecost, it is a day to remember that we remember as the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And it came upon the Jerusalem church. 120 believers were in the upper room. And we look at this as a fulfillment of the whole of the Old Testament promises that God would fulfill His promise to the people to bring His Spirit upon them. So Pentecost then is not just a past event that happened 2,000 years ago. It is a living reality that continues to be part of our life, where the Holy Spirit abides with us, with believers, with His church. Pentecost is a message of hope. It is a message that still empowers us and transforms and unites the church. So whenever we give our life to Christ, it's not about how can I make myself change and conform to what we think are spiritual principles. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to conform, to do the acts that God would have us to do, to live and to speak and to believe in His Word. So to truly understand Pentecost, we must look at its roots in the Old Testament, and we find that it is fulfilled in the New Testament, and it is an ongoing work for us today. So the scripture that I want to look at for a moment is Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning at verse 9. So how did we come up with Pentecost? Where did it start? Well, this is the beginning of Pentecost, or the beginning of the holiday. Now, in Judaism, there are three holidays that are required for all men to come to Jerusalem. And one of them is this Festival of Weeks. The other is Passover, and I forgot the third one. But anyhow, there were three holidays in which the Jews from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to celebrate these special holidays. And so Deuteronomy 16:9 says, "Count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain." So it has to do with the grain harvest. "Then celebrate the Festival of Weeks to the Lord." And the Festival of Weeks commemorates the giving of the Ten Commandments. So how that transitions, but the coming, the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai is the beginning, Sinai, is the beginning of the Festival of Weeks. So to the Lord your God, by giving free will offerings in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. So the idea of giving based on what we have received, and rejoice before the Lord your God at the place where he will choose as a dwelling for his name. So back in Deuteronomy, they had these tabernacles, the tabernacle made out of tents, you know, animal skins and barriers, cloth and so on, that made up the perimeter. Well, now in Jerusalem, in the time of at the time of Acts, we had the huge temple that was built, and that's where they celebrated. And so your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your towns, and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows living among you, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. So Pentecost then did not begin in Acts chapter 2. It has deep roots in the Old Testament. And it is known as the Feast of Weeks. It is known as Shavuot. It's one of the, as we said, the three major holidays that required the Jewish men to pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So, Passover, 50 days after Passover. So it's been 50 days since Easter Sunday. but Friday was Passover. Then Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. So Pentecost means 50th. It was the harvest festival, celebrating the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And people were called to bring thank offerings to God in Jerusalem. So these festivals, they had names, but they had, you know, they had maybe two or three different names, but they represented many things. Festival of Weeks was the coming of the Ten Commandments. Also was the first fruits of the harvest. You bring your sheaves of grain in for harvest. But there's more. Pentecost also commemorates the giving of the law. We said that on Mount Sinai. Pentecost, the Jews celebrated both God's provision, the harvest, and God's revelation, the law. So all of these things had, it's important pictures that the people were to remember. You know, sometimes, well, for us, I think people, you know, celebrate Christmas, but do they really celebrate the birth of Christ? Well, it was going, the same thing was going on with the children of Israel. They would go and participate in these celebrations, but many had just lost sight of what the celebration was. It was a requirement, so they showed up. Well, something new was coming, and the prophet hinted about that which was new that was coming, and that God would pour out his spirit, not just in written laws on stones, but God would pour out his spirit written on the hearts of men. Joel 2:28 says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants and both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So we find that there was a prophecy going on. There was these celebrations. And then Joel wrote about a time in which God was going to do something even more dynamic. And in addition to the giving of the law, what a great event that happened when Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. Now Joel is writing about there's something more coming. There's a greater event coming than even this. So this was the stage was set for Pentecost. Everything was in place for the outpouring of God's Spirit upon the people. So we find as we fast forward from the Old Testament writings to Acts chapter 2, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost came," so day of Pentecost, that was the Feast of Weeks. And what was going on, the people of Israel, the Hebrew nation, the Hebrew individuals that were scattered throughout all the nations, they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So it was all in place there in Jerusalem. And when the day of Pentecost, when the day of that celebration came, they were all together in one place. There was 120 followers in one place, because 10 days earlier, Jesus ascended to heaven. So we've had Passover, we've had the crucifixion of Jesus, his resurrection. 40 days Jesus appeared to his followers in that 40-day period. At the end of that 40-day period, Jesus ascends to heaven, and he tells his followers, go to Jerusalem and wait. So 40 days, 50 days is Pentecost, so they waited 10 days in Jerusalem for something God promised he would give them, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the people. It was 50 days from the crucifixion. So that's when Pentecost came, and it was a celebration in all of Israel, because that was the day that God gave them the law, and it was also a day of celebrating the first of the harvest. So suddenly, while they were in this upper room, the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Now, it doesn't say that a violent wind came. It came the sound like a violent wind. In Sunday school, I said that they were heard this wind coming, and they said, oh, don't worry, it's just a freight train. And I got the same reaction then, too. Because the violent wind, people say, of a hurricane or a tornado sounds like a freight train coming. Well, they had the sound of a freight train, but they weren't blown out the windows. So there was this mighty sound, and not, and you know, the critics say, well, that was them people making it up. But no, the sound was so great that the people outside started to gather around the building. And they wondered, what's going on up there? There's this sound. And then there was fire. They saw, as it were, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the individuals. So there was this, like, ball of fire that came and separated. And it was cloven tongues, meaning that it separated like it was a flickering flame. And it sat upon each of the individuals. And the wind is the breath of God, the Spirit. And the flame is the burning of the dross, or the burning up of that which is, that which has been cast aside. Whenever he talks about the pruning that goes on, that the limbs are cut off and thrown into the fire, what burns. And so the people in the upper room, there was this consuming fire of perhaps of their own thoughts and their wrong thoughts, because Peter and the other disciples were still trying to wait for them to be leaders in Israel. But with Pentecost, it changed. And so we find that with the Pentecost, Peter stood up and talked about Jesus Christ. That was the birth of the church. And it was a change in all of the disciples, in all of their thinking. They changed from being leaders in Israel to being the foundation of the church, the body of Christ. The church is the called out ones. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You are the called out one by God. His Spirit abides with you, and he rests upon you. It says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They spoke in the language that they had not learned. And say, well, that's pretty unusual. Yeah, it is. It's the initiation of a new age, I'll think of it in a moment. There's a new age, the beginning of the church. And so the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in languages. The people up in the 120 in the upper room spoke in languages that they didn't know, but the people who were outside the building, who were from different countries, heard the message about Jesus in their own language from people who didn't speak their language. It was a gift of the Spirit to speak through those individuals to those who were lost. And we find that in our life, being able to speak to the needs of people is part of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Being able to be the presence of God in people's lives. You are the presence of God in many individual lives because they don't know God. They don't know who He is and what He's about. They have misconceptions. But you see, the Holy Spirit can burn up those misconceptions, that fire that sets upon and it sets upon us. Help us to burn up the misconceptions we have about ourselves, about God, about the church, about what goes on in our world around us. We all have thoughts and concepts of what's going on here and there, but God is being focused on God is the only important, the most important thing. Everything else is just part of life, but there is that which is in the part of God which helps us to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. He's coming again. We sang about it. You know, trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise. How do we know this? Because the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost as a guarantor of what Jesus said. When we believe and receive Christ in our heart, the Spirit of God abides within us. And that is the guarantor, guarantees what Jesus promised. Because I live, you shall live also. That's the guarantee. So the 10 days prior, Jesus had ascended. And then Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. You will receive power, strength. You will have a spiritual unction, a spiritual power that comes from you. It comes from your heart and comes from your spirit. It's that which God has given you. You see, this is something that is so important for us. You are not the same person as you were when you didn't know Jesus. Peter, he was changed from before the coming of the Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, till after it, he was a changed person. Rather than being a leader in Israel, he was now the foundation of the church, the called out ones to follow God. So verse 2 says, suddenly a sound of a violent wind. Suddenly it came on them. Verse 3, tongues of fire rest upon each person, symbolizing purifying. The Holy Spirit purifies and empowers, purifies us, burns up that which is anti-God, that which is anti-Christ against God in our life, burns that up. And we have a renewed spirit, a renewed life. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, a language that they did not know, reaching the people from every nation. So the Spirit came not just on the prophets, the priests, the king, but it came upon all believers, men, women, children, young and old. The Holy Spirit came upon them. This was no coincidence. It was set up by God at the giving of the law and the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai and the Feast of Weeks that they put together. And God had a program. God had a plan. Passover, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world on the cross. 40 days he ascended. 50 days his Spirit came. Everyone who was in Jerusalem. Remember this. God has a plan. God has a purpose in everything. We may not see it. We may not understand it. The idea is that we do not lose hope. We do not lose our focus. We do not lose sight of what God is trying to do in our life. And we can't say that, well, this didn't happen. That we don't know what time it is in the timing of God. And so God's plans are set and they will happen. It's for us not to be discouraged in the timing. It's for us not to worry about God. What's he going to do next? We're safe in the arms of our Father. You know, one of the things I try to always emphasize, we had a friend that called this week, and they were having surgery, and they were upset and worried, naturally. And one of the things I always try to emphasize is, before we begin, before I pray, we've got to understand you are safe. You are safe in the hands of God. Nothing can separate you. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. You are safe. And from that place of security, we pray. So we're not praying out of desperation that I may die, I may live, this may happen. No, I am safe and I am secure in the arms of my Father. And no matter what happens in this life, I am safe and God will take care of me. Amen? So what happened on Mount Sinai and the giving of the law and the coming of the Spirit, all those, God had that all planned out a thousand years before it happened. So the work of the Spirit in the New Testament, Acts 1:8, you will receive power. Power. That's not just the ability to lift weights or run long distances. It's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual influence. It's a belief that God is taking care of us and that his promises are made real by the Holy Spirit. See, the power of the Spirit gave the disciples boldness and clarity and strength. They were going fishing. Jesus is alive. Yes. What are we going to do now? I don't know. Let's go fishing. Let's go back to what we used to do. No, the Spirit gave them boldness and clarity and strength that these cowards, Peter, who denied Jesus to the young girl who claimed that he was a follower of Jesus, and Peter denied it. Now Peter has great courage and he's proclaiming the message. Fishermen became preachers and teachers. Ordinary people became global evangelists. As they went back to their regions from Jerusalem, they spread the good news of Jesus. And so we are living in that same power today. It is the power to transform lives. We don't do it. Like the doctor, they wanted a doctor to, a doctor should look for ways to prescribe hope. Well, we have the prescription. And the doctor, the great physician, is Jesus. And we never are left without hope. And the blessed hope and the hope that is in the Scriptures is a certainty of an event that is yet to happen. The certainty of an event. Many times we think of hope, well, I hope it doesn't rain too much. I hope the sun would shine. It's like wishful thinking. But the hope that is in the Scripture is a definite. It is that at the appointed time, this will happen. At the appointed time, you got out of school, right? The appointed day. At the appointed time, you know, you go to work, you come. But in the kingdom of God, it is the appointed time, and God will transform our lives. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. What do you do when everything starts anew? The disciples, you know, from being a leader in Israel to being a founder of a church, called out people to follow God. What are we going to do? We're going to teach what Jesus taught us. And what happened? The same thing that happened when Jesus taught. People were healed. Demons were cast out. Lives were changed. Signs and wonders were given. So we find that this all happened. They started talking of the message of Christ. The Holy Spirit transformed the people. He produces the fruit of the Spirit. So we find that there's something growing in us. You know, it's not watermelon seeds. Remember when you were a kid? Don't eat watermelon seeds. Why? Well, you get a big belly like that person. So, you know. Or there's something growing in us. It's not watermelon seeds. It's love, joy, and peace, and patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. You see, these wonders that God brings about are what a term that when people experience a supernatural miracle. Wonders. How in the world did that happen? Signs and wonders. You know. So there were gifts to the body. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, the reason I put this in here is that to each one, okay, each one, how many each ones do we have here? Okay, we're all each one. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What God has given to you is for you and for one another. It is about the body of Christ. It's not about ruling the in this world. It's about the church and the common good that we have for each other. And every one of us have that special gift given by God. So God equips every believer, each one of us, for the common good of others. Which brings about unity. In the Old Testament, we have Babel, the Tower of Babel, where God confused the languages and they couldn't build it anymore because they were going to build a tower up to God and up to the heavens in defiance of God. God said, nope, they changed the languages. And so languages divided, languages confused. In the New Testament, we have Pentecost. At Pentecost, the languages brought unity. The languages brought an understanding of the Spirit and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit speaking unity through us and helping us to understand the gifts and the blessings of God in our life. Then to God, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, for we are all one in Christ. So we are called to be filled with the Spirit. We are called to be led by the Spirit. We are called to be united by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is active in our life by our conversation, our welcoming of one another, our missing of those who are not with us, to those who are here and we communicate and give them a call, whatever. And so we are united. And it's all through the Holy Spirit. So we find that Pentecost is very much a part of our life. We often celebrate, and again, rightfully so, we celebrate Christmas and Easter, but the birth of the church is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the personal challenge of Pentecost to each one of us is this: are we living with the power of the Spirit? You see, are we living with the power of the Spirit? Meaning that we don't have to make it happen, we have to open our hearts up to receive it. Spend time in prayer and thanking God for the day. You know, I was remembering, we lived in northern Maine for almost a little over 2 years, I think, and we had a prayer group in the convent there in the town. And there was nuns and priests and townspeople and Rhonda and I. It was a totally Catholic community. And there was a man there, his name was Lauren, and he owned an oil company. And we would pray, we would have a prayer group in the convent. And Lauren was a leader in the community, and we would talk about the Holy Spirit and, you know, the message and speaking in tongues and things like that. Lauren, he had never heard that, and so one day he was praising God while he was driving his truck, his fuel truck. And while he was driving his truck, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in another language. And he came to prayer group, he was so excited. You don't believe, I mean, in the group, they had a chair. Nobody could sit in that chair unless you went and prayed for it. That was the power of God chair. And, you know, I didn't do that. They did it, you know, because, you know, Roman Catholic, and this was their traditions. And so they had to have a Holy Spirit chair. That was what it was, the Holy Spirit chair. And so if you wanted prayed for, you got to sit in the chair. And if you didn't want prayed for, don't sit in the chair. And Lauren had sat in the chair, and he had received the Holy Spirit. And he went in to visit one of his family members in the hospital. And while he was praying for them, he started speaking in tongues. And they all looked at him like, what on earth happened to you? And he said, and he told them, this is what happened. And Lauren went to the bar. Yes, he still, you know, I didn't tell them they don't do this, don't do that, and go there. He sat at the bar, he's standing there, he's got a drink in his hand, and he said, God told him, put it down, you don't need that anymore. And he walked out. You see, the power of the Spirit is a changed life. And God is pricking, it's like an emotional pain, as it were, in our heart that says, don't do this. Or it is an encouragement to go and do things. So are we living in the power of the Spirit? Meaning it's not some walking on water. It's walking up to someone or calling them and talking to them, just being friendly and offering a prayer. Are we depending on the Spirit daily? We need God for our life to be able to be focused and not get swept up in the difficulties. Are we using our spiritual gifts to serve others? You have spiritual gifts. You are part of the body of Christ. And we are using what we are, our smile, our conversation, our hands, our feet. We're using this to serve Christ. Are you part of God's divine mission? That we're just talking about Jesus at the appropriate times. So Pentecost is not about history. It's about now. The Holy Spirit who came on the church in Acts chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit that is with us now. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you to overflowing. He wants to empower you. He wants to transform you. He wants to send you into the world, your world, with the message. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, and I want the ladies to come, and we're going to sing a song at the end here. Zechariah 4:6 is, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what we're about, Pentecost. We're about the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. We're about allowing God to be God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does this. He does this working in our life. Remember this. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. That the Spirit will never ask you to do something you're not capable of doing and that you're not comfortable doing. People think, well, if I have the Holy Spirit, I've got to be crazy like some people that I see. No. I remember a man, he used to come up to the hospital and he would yell and scream at people and, you know, about God and getting right with God. And, well, whenever he was dying in hospice, I visited him and I talked to him. I said, well, why did you do all this? He says, well, he didn't go to church. And he would just read different books. And he says, well, isn't that what you were supposed to do to prove you love God? I said, no. And he, you know, people were just afraid of him. And he was this blasting things, thinking that he was doing God's work. And he would never listen to what anybody else had to say until it was too late. And so in our life, God is not going to make you do something you don't want to do. He's not going to force you. He's going to lead you. God leads his children along. Okay? He leadeth me. It's an invitation. And an invitation is to ask for God to come into our life. Ask the Holy Spirit. God has come into our life. He's forgiven us of our sin. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantor, comes to us to fill us and to help us understand the promises of God. And he helps us to pray. Pray for what we have need of and believe then all things are possible. Come, Holy Spirit. And may that be your prayer as we go on from here and you're thinking of today and Pentecost. Remember, come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit. And Lord, how that it was the igniting of the church. So too, Lord, it continues to ignite and to lead and empower the church today, the body of Christ, each one of us. So, Lord, come. Send your Spirit upon us with the fire that burns up the dross, the power that empowers us to go forward, that gives us the words to speak in times of need. Lord, guide us by your Spirit. Empower us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you.